Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to today's NASCAR teleconference. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. In a few moments, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions on procedure will be given at that time. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to our host, Ms. Jennifer Knoepel. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you again for joining us in today's teleconference in advance of the start of the 2019 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series season. We're now joined by Monster Energy Series driver Brad Keselowski, driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang for Team Penske. Brad, thanks for spending some time with us this afternoon.
You're welcome, and thanks for having me. Appreciate all the media that joined in as well.
Brad, with one win at the Daytona International Speedway in 2016 and the Coke Zero 400, what would a Daytona 500 win mean for you?
It's something I've thought a lot about, Jennifer, and there's a couple of thoughts on my mind. Before last week, I'd never really won a major at NASCAR. You know, won the championship and done a lot of those things, and, which is certainly great. But if I hadn't won any majors, and last year after winning Darlington and Indianapolis, the thrill from that is just, I'm still kind of on a high from that. That was almost 6 months ago. But Daytona is, of course, for the 500, one major I don't have. I feel like, it's a race we've been competitive at. We've had opportunities to win it. For a number of reasons, it hasn't come together, which is, sometimes unsettling. People ask me all the time, what race is the one that got away? And I would say it's the 500 or has been so far. And I want to change that. We have a great opportunity to do that this year. We got the, little stackers we're pretty familiar with. The Ford Mustang has now come out, and it's, they are appreciating investing in Las Vegas, and it looks like it's going to be a killer car. I know we're really excited about that. And so the opportunities in front of us, I feel like I can win the Daytona 500, did basically my career, and I'm ready to do it. I'm in the prime of my career. I feel like I have a good understanding of what it's going to take to do it. It's just a matter of kind of putting the whole race together from my perspective and from the team's perspective as well, and then not having any bad luck, because I feel like the car's there, the team's there, I'm there. We're all ready to win this race. Hopefully the time is now this year in 2019.
Awesome. Well, we're certainly wishing you the best. We'll go ahead and open it up to the media for questions.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you do have a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, we ask that while you're posing your question, you pick up your handset to provide favorable sound quality. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, it's *1 on your phone. Please hold while we pose our questions. First, we'll go to Claire Lang with SiriusXL NASCAR.
Thank you. And Brad, it's so hard to define to people how difficult, luck aside, that it is to win the Daytona 500. Can you describe how difficult it is to pull off a win in that race? Obviously, you have to have a lot of talent, but kind of put in perspective how hard it is, not only to survive, but to win that one.
Well, I think you, Larry, you hit the right word, the survival part. That's been the hardest part for me. I feel like we've been good enough to win it multiple times, and we get caught up in somebody else's wreck or somebody else's problem. And I think you see that a lot. Besides the luck factor, and I think the first thing first is you got to be running at the end of that race. And for whatever reason, I think maybe because it's the first race of the year, maybe because it's one of the biggest races of the year, I'm not entirely sure. But the Daytona 500 has traditionally been a race of very high attrition, and so getting to the end has been very difficult for us, and it's probably kept us from winning it at least once or twice. Because like I said earlier, I think we've had the part to do it. So I think that's a big part of why it's so hard to win, the attrition factor, and just surviving that to begin with. And then of course, it is a difficult race. This time of year, of course, Florida is always a lot hotter than most parts of North America, but this time of year, it seems to be one of those racetracks that, you practice and you qualify on in the race day for whatever reason. The track end goes way up and the cars slide around a lot more and chaos ensues. So trying to survive to the end, to me, is the biggest part. And the races that we have survived to the end, and we haven't got torn up, we ran really well and we've been in position to win. And hopefully that's the case for us this year. I feel confident if I can be there. I feel confident if I can be there at the end that we can win the race.
Is it smarts, courage, too? I mean, is that the element of it, or mostly luck because you're all good? And thank you for your answer.
Well, I'm not entirely sure which one. It takes a little bit of both. There's definitely some courage in the moves you need to make, but there's some smarts as well. I mean, I feel like the Daytona 500, it's one of those races that, and a lot of restrictor plate racing is this way in my mind. It's one of those races where one year it takes smarts and great execution, and one year it takes a lot of luck, and it seems to rotate back and forth. You know, I went back and watched a lot of film, and, you know, Joey Logano won the race, I think, 2 or 3 years ago, 2015, and same thing with Denny Hamlin. And they made smart and courageous moves to win the race, and they really, really earned it. And then I've seen other races, without, you know, picking on anybody, where I would say that was not the case, where it was just, you know, someone was lucky enough to be running at the end of the day, and, you know, the 500 kind of fell into their lap. And that's that can be really frustrating when you feel like you've done everything right and, you know, the luck side's not in your favor, but you got to get back up on the horse and ride. I feel like a number of the opportunities we've had to win fell through our hands, and there was nothing we could have done differently. And we go back there, and we keep our hope, and we do all the right things in control, all the things we can control, and know that'll give us our best chance of winning.
Thank you, and good luck.
Thank you.
We'll go next to Nate Ryan with NBC Sports.
Yeah, a couple for you, Brad. One, knowing that it's taken so long for some really big names to win this race, whether Tony Stewart never won it, Dale Earnhardt took him 20 tries, you haven't won it, Kyle Busch hasn't won it. Any reason for that that you can name, Brad, like why it takes guys, especially guys who are really talented plate drivers, to that long to win this race? And does it give you any solace to know that you're not alone and that some other champions either never won this race or took a while to win it?
Well, Nate, I think it's a astute observation. It's one that's not lost on me. I think the moves that should work and normally would work on plate tracks don't work on the 500 because of the kind of the chaos of that race. And it's almost like you need a different playbook for the 500 than you do a normal plate race. And that's, I know, kind of hard to explain it. It kind of reminds me, I love the military and things of that nature. And I was reading this handbook, military handbook on how to handle different things and, all kinds of different game plans and strategies for attacks. And one of the things in the back of the book is, remember, everything here is for a normal trained soldier to go up against another normal trained soldier. There is no way to prepare for a kamikaze. There's no way to prepare for someone who's not trained and just does crazy shit. And I read that most of my life. Because that's a lot about how the 500 is. Moves that should work don't work because, for whatever reason, that race gets people amped up and crazy, and they do weird things. And so, your normal playbook a lot of times doesn't work for the 500, and it's part of the randomness of the race. And, the way racing is, especially plate racing, a lot of your success is dictated by others. Specific to getting crashed out. And it makes it very difficult, especially for me and probably drivers like Tyler would probably say the same thing. It makes it very difficult for us because we've built a playbook of things that we feel really good about. And we know are the right moves and they've worked for us on the other play tracks, and they don't work at the 500 because of the randomness of that race. So it's frustrating, but yeah, I do take some solace in that. Nate, and I'm hopeful that we can just break through that.
So even though it's the biggest race of the year, do you almost have to not overthink it and not prepare less but not over-prepare?
Yeah, I mean, you just don't know what kind of race it's going to be. If it's a race like 2015 to 2016, you want to be as prepared as possible. You better make the right move at the exact right moment. With the right amount of, smarts, like they were saying, and courageousness. If it's a race like what we saw in 17 and 18, probably the worst thing you can do is be prepared for it, because then you have preconceptions of moves that should work, and they don't because the race is so random. They actually get you in more trouble. So it's a very, very difficult race to prepare for.
And finally, Brad, I saw you were tweeting the other day about your famous tweet during the 2012 race. What are your memories of that night? And do you think I've seen some people say the most famous tweet in NASCAR history. Can you lay claim to that? And what are your memories of that night?
Yeah, if you're going by the amount of retweets and favorites, it's probably not the most in NASCAR. I think Dale Jr. got that one pretty easily, whether it's winning the 500 himself or making a mayo sandwich. It was certainly a special night. I didn't win the race that night, which would have made it even cooler. But man, a lot went down, and that was really, I think, my first taste of realizing how powerful social media can be. And I'm thrilled to death that it brought a lot of the social media following to the sport. That wasn't my intent. My intent was just to kind of goof around and kill some time and have a little bit of fun. But I sure am glad that other people thought it was as much fun and as cool as I did. And it's part of the passion that I think a lot of people share for the sport and still do share for the sport.
Great. Thanks, Fred.
Thank you, Nate.
We'll go next to Holly Kane with NASCAR Wire Service.
Thank you. Hey, Brad. I have two questions as well. The first one I wanted to ask you is kind of a follow-up to both Claire and Nate, and that is, so when you go into the Daytona 500 as somebody that, is widely considered the best, if not a restricted plate racer, does not winning make you more frustrated, or do you feel like it's going to come because you have to have that confidence in yourself?
I'm definitely very frustrated, Alan. There's no doubt about it. But on the other side, I'm confident that if we keep doing the right things, that we, not to sound too cliche, but trust the process, that it will come together. And that means, you put the work in and you follow the playbook the best you know how and that we've developed and try to make it count. And it's easy to get discouraged and of course, like you said earlier, frustrated. I do get discouraged and frustrated by that particular race because of, we haven't had the outcome that I feel like we're capable of or even sometimes that we deserve. But with that in mind, that's the pack. And just like if we had won the race before, it wouldn't mean nothing for this race. Because we lost the race before, it doesn't mean anything to me for this race. We have to move past that and embrace the opportunity in front of us, and that's where my head's at.
Got it. And on a whole different note, I wondered what your thoughts are and kind of your approach to pole qualifying. It's still a very special part of the sport in terms of it being a whole separate weekend and setting only the front row. And I just kind of wondered what your approach is and what the team's approach is to getting one of those two spots. And certainly Chevrolet has done that a lot in recent times. So I'm just curious to hear from you.
It's a big deal to me. It's a really big deal to me. For a number of reasons. One, it goes back to some of the legacy, the history of the sport. They used to do qualifying in NASCAR over multiple days and all those good stuff. And my dad and uncle, who were part of those big races, would tell the stories, and I would listen to them and about how big a deal it was to qualify on pole day at some of these, events. It wasn't just Daytona, right? It was a lot of tracks that would do multiple days qualifying and qualifying races and whatnot. But it's a big deal for a lot of reasons. And it's something that, anytime we can honor the tradition of the sport, that's becoming more and more important to me as I get older. I guess that's one of those things you learn when you get older. I think it's great. But probably one of the things that stands out to me is it's one of the few accomplishments in all motorsports that Roger Penske doesn't have, is being on the front row for the Daytona 500, or at least the pole. And boy, would we like to change it. I know it's really high up on his list. It's something he wants to cross off. And we put a lot of thought into it. And, I've tried to put a lot of emphasis on it. I told all of our guys that I would give them all the money if we won the poll, and they're pretty excited about that. So that's been kind of neat to see their faces light up. But hopefully we can get it done.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Brad.
Thanks, Holly. No problem.
We'll go next to Blake Smith with Bluegrass Motorsport.
Hello, Brad. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you, Blake?
Doing well. With Daytona being really the last restrictor play race for NASCAR schedule, how much effort has the team put into Daytona? Are they putting different effort into maybe Talladega and the summer race in July?
Well, I think it's on a case-by-case basis. Like, some Daytonas, you're going to put more effort in for others, just by the way the season flows, and your development cycle flows for your team. I would say this year, as much as any, we're putting a lot of effort into Daytona because we have a new car with the Ford Mustang, and we want to get it right. It needs all the development time it can have, but part of where we're at in the cycle. So it's certainly the race that I would think of as being the most prepared for, just by the nature of it being the first race of the season. It reminds me a little bit like when I was in school, and the first day of school, the night before, I would kind of lay out all my clothes and have my backpack packed and ready to go with new pencils and books or whatever it might be, notebooks. And then, of course, a little bit later in school, you're getting dressed the morning of and you're just barely finding your clothes and your backpacks and masks and all that kind of stuff. But that's probably the best way I know how to explain Daytona 500. It's got a lot of that first day of school feel, and everyone's super prepared and sometimes a little anxious as well.
And also with the test last week in Las Vegas, do you think teams are really giving it their all, or do you think they were kind of playing cat and mouse, hey, I don't want to show our hand before we come to Las Vegas or Atlanta, a place like that?
It's hard to speak for everyone. I can speak for myself. I know I gave my all, and we learned a bunch of stuff. It's hard to learn when you don't give it your all. I know that. But when you're only playing kind of half-assed, you're going to get half-assed results from game time. So you gotta practice all out. And I know we did. I can't speak for everyone else. And I thought we had a really fantastic test. And I'm feeling pretty confident that we're going to be able to head to Vegas and Atlanta here in a few weeks after the 500 and be pretty strong.
Well, thank you, Brad, and good luck in the upcoming speed weeks and the rest of the 2019 season.
Thanks, bud. Take care.
We'll go next to Robert Trovey with BRD Broadcasting.
Thank you. Brad, just a little bit off the subject, but a lot of people don't know about this. You have started a manufacturing company down in South Carolina. Can you explain to people, as a race car driver, how is this going to benefit you in some ways?
Well, thank you. I'm sorry I didn't catch your name. Can you say it again?
Yeah, I didn't mention the name of the company, but because it's you're using your name in the company.
Yeah, no, your name. What was your name?
Robert Trovey.
Oh, hey, Robert, thank you. Yeah, we're in North Carolina, and actually I'm kind of having a flu right now because I'm a pacer when I work and looking at different machines and things. But I just love technology. I think it's a great way for me to relate to motorsports in a lot of different ways. They don't let me touch the cars at Team Penske, which is probably a good thing. But, I think a lot of my experiences in motorsports have been that as a race car driver, I'm kind of at the top of the feedback loop. I give the team the feedback they need to make the race cars the best they possibly can be. And then they go back and, they re-engineer them, they rebuild them, they remanufacture them, et cetera, et cetera. And then they go race again, right? And that's kind of the week-to-week cycle of motorsports. And at the end of the year, or sometimes even in the middle of the year, NASCAR makes a bunch of rules changes, and you go back to the cycle again. But with that in mind, understanding the technology, I think is good for me. I'm both engineering and the manufacturing side, and helps me provide critical data and feedback to the team and how they can be the best possible. And that's something I really enjoy being a part of. It makes me feel even more ingrained in the teamwork or the fiber of the teamwork that's required to be successful at the highest level of motorsports.
listen, we want to wish you not only the best of luck with this upcoming season, but with the company. And don't, because you have this company now and it'll explode in your face to a greater thing, don't think about retirement because your name is too important to NASCAR to retire.
Thank you. I'm not. I certainly have a really big goal in front of us. And I can tell you I'm a long way from thinking about retirement. I want to win more championships. And, of course, the immediate goal in front of us is the Daytona 500.
Thanks again, Brad.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We'll move next to Taryn Webb with the Tuscaloosa News.
Hi, Brad. Thanks for hopping on the call today. I was wondering overall what your thoughts are on NASCAR's new rules package.
Well, I had a test in Las Vegas last week, last Friday, and it went really well. You know, I think I've made a concerted effort to not think so much about the rules package and just be more selfish in 2019. And with that in mind, we were really, really fast at the test. I think we're going to be really, really good this season. So I got both thumbs up and head down, ready to go race.
Do you see conflicting feelings among different drivers, though?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely there's a lot of opinions. It's like anything else in racing, you're going to have, of 40-some drivers, you're probably going to have about 25 or 30 different opinions on any topic. Some more aligned than others, and this one seems to be as polarizing as any topic I can recall. The reality is that the rules are set. They are what they are going to be for 2019, and it's up to myself and our team to make the most of them.
How do you explain to a fan what the difference is with the things that they have changed?
The cars are definitely a little bit faster in the middle of the corner. So you're pulling a little bit more G-forces, which is, that's kind of fun, kind of like that. And then they're quite a bit slower down the straightaway. So the top speed's less, but the average speed is not quite as less. So it's definitely a shift. You're on the gas pedal a lot more than you were before. And not using hardly any brakes at a lot of these bigger tracks. So that's just part of it, and we'll have to adjust to it.
Do you think it's going to take a long adjustment period for everyone to have to see and feel out what's going to work and what's not?
I expect the industry to be caught up by the time we get to Kansas in late April or mm-hmm. May, and we'll mm-hmm. see it settle in to what it's going to be about that time period.
And then completely unrelated, how important is the car's number to a driver, like what your number is?
I know it's important to a lot of my fans who got tattoos of it. to me specifically, it's not super important to me. I like the number 2. I think it's a good number. If I had my pick, it would be either 19 or 29 just because my family's, name and legacy has always been those two numbers, but I forgot all those two numbers. There was a time period where it was 88, which was really cool when I had the opportunity to run that. For me, I'm glad to hold the kind of the heritage and legacy of the two car for Roger Penske, and I think it means a lot to the team for sure.
All right, thank you so much, Fred.
You're welcome.
And that's all the time we have for questions today. Ms. Canope, I'll turn the conference back to you.
Great. Thank you again for your time today, Brad. As a reminder to everyone on the line, the Daytona 500 takes place on Sunday, February 17th at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Fox, MRN, and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. A transcript of this conference along with the audio will be available later today on NASCARmedia.com. Thank you again for all your hard work and continued coverage of the sport.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.